Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
Kind of hoping for rainbows later, but right now, looking at the radar, the entire eastern half of Wisconsin is getting rain, basically just right down 51. And on the other side, Kristen tells me in Green Bay, it's as sunny as it gets out there, huh?
It's always sunny on Packer Day.
Well, that's what time is the game? And I wonder how rainy, you might have some rainy conditions for the game, perhaps.
So it's 7 o'clock in San Francisco.
Oh, is it in San Francisco? Okay.
But we're still wearing green and gold because it's...
Well, here's my... Here's another one of those weird confessions and a hill that I'll die on. I pay zero attention to preseason football. I don't. I just, you know, for when the season opens, hit me up. But the practices and everything else is like when a game is on, I want to watch the game is real. You know, it really means something. So I'm happy, you know, that the Packers are getting going here. But it also doesn't help that, you know, Aaron Rodgers is, you know, drinking his hallucinogenic tea now. And by the way, before we get back to our discussion with the doctors here on Doctorly Matters, Luke, do you have the audio of that little girl that was serving pretend tea to the Packer players at Lambeau Field? I think it was last week, but we had it in our newsletter yesterday.
So sweet.
Oh, she was just adorable. She's like 2 years old in her little Packer cheerleader outfit. And the parents or the mom were bringing her to practice. She wanted to bring along her pretend tea set. And so reaching through like the little bike racks, you know, that make the dividers, you know, she wanted to see. And so, and the Packer players, to their great credit, did. Do you have that handy, Luke?
Good. That was great. Good job.
Good practice.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Thank you.
I didn't want to step on her, but I was hoping we could hear you. She's just delightful when you hear her go, "Do you want some tea?"
And it was just, I gotta tell you, so I know I'm Packer crazy because I'm from here and this is just part of it, but if you've never been to that part of training camp where the kids get on, they give the players their bikes. And the players like have no idea, you know, sometimes it's little bikes on training wheels. Sometimes it's a big wheel. Sometimes it's an actual bike, but just to see the players and the kids interacting and having conversations and that warmth with the fans that just come out, it is really an incredibly beautiful community building experience and it's free. They're right there. So I really encourage people to come and just appreciate that about the culture of this great state up north.
It is that whole, you know, diverse nature of everything. And in this case, you know, athletes that, you know, say before a baseball game, some guys will come out and sign baseballs for the kids and whatnot. So we do. We talk about the prima donnas all the time. And we don't talk nearly enough about the ones who are personal and personable. Much like a lot of doctors I know, I have two very personable ones here. There's no prima donna physicians. In this bunch, Dr. Ann Helms, neurologist, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, an OBGYN. And we have been talking about, you know, what are the healthcare ramifications for the November election? And that's still kind of a weird thing to talk about. We're used to talking about, you know, the economic ramifications of something, you know, is a bill going to pass for, you know, infrastructure or school spending? And these instead are we're getting right into the very details. Dr. Helms, to the point of medications. And again, as if we've already talked about the lack of black and white, the shades of gray in a pregnancy or in any other medical condition. But the same can be said, it's not the case where every single drug is for one thing. And so you can easily say, well, these drugs might lead to abortion, so we can't use them at all. That would really get in the way of some of your patient care.
Yeah, I mean, there's medications that are used for multiple different problems that may or may not be pregnancy related. And women who show up to a pharmacy and have a prescription are being told they need to prove that it's not being used to achieve an abortion. And that means their healthcare is delayed and possibly serious problems. Sometimes it may be that a woman is already experiencing a miscarriage and needs help completing that to avoid having serious problems like infection or ongoing bleeding. And they're told, no, you can't have that because you might be having an abortion. And there's a blurry line there that can really be intrusive. And it isn't simple. I think the biggest problem with this law and with the understanding of some people like Tim Michaels is that they're thinking this is extraordinarily simplistic. People train for a decade to become an obstetrician or any other kind of physician. We're not sitting around drawing and coloring books during that time. There's a lot of stuff we learn. So they don't know, and we do. And why can't they trust the physicians?
And not only do we train for years, but science and medicine are always changing as we get more information and it's evolving. And that's why we can't legislate medicine. It sounds like a good idea from a simplistic standpoint, just make this a law. But look what happens with some of these laws. First of all, it often takes years to pass, and then they sit on the books for, I don't know, the entire length of your state's existence since 1849, like this old abortion law. So you can't, it's not, the legal system is not nimble enough to handle this. And that is why it is absolutely necessary, whether we're talking about reproductive health or starting a new blood pressure medication, it is absolutely necessary that we let doctors do their jobs so that they can take care of us.
And actually, Kristen drew the parallel to me that the Packers are playing the 49ers to open up the preseason. The 49ers as in 1849, you know, the gold rush year, which is in our history books, our musty, dusty history books, is where the current Wisconsin state abortion ban dates back to, long before women can vote, when you know, the Black women and Black men were still considered property. And Tim Michaels and many others are embracing a law from that era. Kristen, just to talk about the prescription medications and medications overall, we're really in danger of, you know, people want this to be a black and white issue on abortion, but we're getting dangerously close to contraception and whether people have the right to contraception. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, we're going to get beyond whether we're banning something at contraception or even at fertilization, which is a shade of gray. I know, Kristen, many people have long since forgotten that from eighth grade biology.
Well, yeah. Were you even really paying attention in eighth grade? When I learned about this in eighth grade, it was a very uncomfortable environment. I remember it well. I talked with my kids about it. But contraception, we know, is a target because Clarence Thomas literally said it was. So I think contraception is definitely something that we need to be concerned about. And that is something that over 99% of sexually active people have used at one time or another in our lifetimes. So that is necessary and it affects us all. And with regards to fertilization, I think it's important to keep in mind that fertilization happens naturally and often implantation doesn't happen. So we can only guess how often fertilization happens, and that fertilized early embryo just passes out of a woman's system without implanting, just because it just does. So if you're, I don't want to get into an argument about like when does life begin, but if you're talking about fertilization, you have to acknowledge that a lot of fertilized eggs go unfulfilled just because of nature.
Exactly. Again, it's just, that's the biology of it. You can say all you want, you know, that you want to protect all life, but if you're talking about protecting everything that could potentially be, we are again moving back into parody territory and the old Monty Python song about every sperm being sacred, and you wouldn't want to waste any of that. We can't let ourselves be dragged, you know, to that point, because not only do we get into silly season there, but Dr. Helms, we're talking about getting into the silly season about, are we, the degree to which we're tracking women's behavior? Mm-hmm. I mean, you would dare say
concerning.
Yeah. Hunting their behavior and doing so more than ever through technology, through tracking of what they put on social media.
Yeah, and there's been suggestion that women should immediately delete any menstruation tracking apps that they have, because somebody could tell that you weren't on your cycle. And like, because women use those to keep track of when they will or won't have a period. And that has been suggested to get rid of those apps. Don't talk about anything on Facebook. Don't search for anything on Google, because that could be used as evidence. We're surveilling women in a way that smacks of a police state. It is terrifying that our personal bodily functions are going to be looked at, measured, and tracked by people who want to make sure we're not violating their idea of what my body is for.
Even location services. You know, if you're near an abortion clinic and your location services are turned on, you can be identified there. Yet we don't track men who are going to strip clubs or, you know, some of these other devious things that are happening. It's only happening to women. Explain that.
You know, the headline this week about the mother and daughter in Nebraska, that, you know, the headline says Facebook turned over a mother and daughter's chat history to police, resulting in abortion charges, a stark example of how digital footprints will be utilized in a post-Roe America. And so if you want to buy into this notion that that's fair game, like you just said, Kristen, careful what you wish for, because, you know, it can be turned on you when somebody else is in power and wants to, you know, target some other kind of behavior. And that's,
but I think it's really terrifying how much this is being aimed exclusively at women. I mean, we aren't looking at this happening to everybody. Let's be honest, this is happening to women. And it's putting, in 1849, when this law was written, women were essentially property. They couldn't vote, they couldn't, you know, move around, they couldn't get a job. So that's what we're basing this on. Are we trying to go back there? I don't want to. Not my plan.
So where do we ultimately want to be? We're talking obviously about decisions that are going to be made in this election cycle. But we will most likely, because of gerrymandering, still have a legislature in Wisconsin that is Republican controlled. We don't know what the balance in Congress is going to be like, but Kristen, what is the optimal, the best likely scenario in the short term? And then what is it that you and the Committee to Protect Healthcare and others are ultimately working toward?
The best likely scenario in the short term, I think, is really difficult to predict, because just like 2 years ago, everything is different. So when we were voting for a president in the middle of a pandemic and we didn't know how we were going to be able to get to the polls and were people going to vote by mail and who were the compelling candidates and why, it's difficult to know how that's all going to go down. Traditionally in a midterm, this would be a big Republican year. But is that going to be the case, especially with this attack on reproductive rights? I think it's really hard to tell. So given that, and the fact that I am an optimist, and I really believe that we are all going to try to converge and, you know, just be good neighbors again, despite our differences, which make us beautiful, I really believe that we can make a difference by engaging, by holding our legislators accountable, by voting thoughtfully, and really, instead of just reading headlines, really thinking about what's below the headlines. What does this mean for us and for our country? And I'll let you handle the Committee to Protect Healthcare piece, because you're the boss.
Yeah, as Wisconsin state lead, where do you want to go with this?
We really want to back candidates and bring the conversation forward so that people realize that voting matters, and that if this is something that matters to you as, you know, a potentially pregnant person or somebody who cares about anybody who might become pregnant, that this has got to be something you consider pretty strongly in your voting, and that you can't just think about what's happening to yourself. This is, I think Kansas was a great example of how people went, nope. I really, really hope that that is going to repeat itself everywhere.
That is certainly what a lot of people are looking to see, is that it's not so much on policy, but on what government can do to you personally. Dr. Ann Helms, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, such a pleasure. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend, both of you.
Thank you so much.
Mahalo, Pat.
We'll wrap up Allegedly Dad Shirt Friday after this. You're up north.